This is what our vision statement is. This is important, okay? Number one, we should have, where are we at? I'm looking at, I still think we got that big old screen behind me. Look here. Awaken and transform every heart with the unconditional love of God. What is the vision of Vertical Encounter? It is for the love of God to transform and impact every single heart that comes in here. You're here because of that very thing. When you came here, how many sense the love of God? How many sense the presence of the Lord? In Pastor Shawnee and I's leadership, if you do not feel that you are unconditionally loved, you probably have not met us. We love people, and it's unconditionally because I've heard it all in 20-something years. There's nothing you can say that's going to surprise me or make me abandon you. So we love you unconditionally. I think we got that down pretty good. Here's the mission statement. Look at here. Watch this. Bring every heart from darkness to light under the influence of God's grace by embodying his love for one another, boldly engaging with our church family through fellowship and discipleship. Watch this. Our culture through social influence and our community through hands-on methods that show our presence and ability to meet their spiritual and physical needs. Now, this has been dealt with. This isn't exactly what the website says. It's be added a little bit more just to really bring that. But I want to focus on just a couple things here just for a second. Look at this part where it says here, by boldly engaging with our church family through fellowship and discipleship. Why is that important? It's important because there is a sense of unity that happens. And in the sense of unity and fellowship, I truly believe the presence of God is seen at a different level. There's something like this virtual thing. It's no secret, y'all. How many been tuning in? I've been trying to teach virtual. I hate it. Ooh, I hate it. Because, I want to say, turn to your neighbors or type amen or something. Do something. I like to feel your presence. But there's something about the corporate man folk coming together. And we're going to get into the reasons of why it's so imperative. For that. And so let's go to the next thing. We're going to start here at the church real quick. Why do we need the church? And I'm not talking about specifically VEC right here. I'm just talk about what is the importance of the church? Why is it so imperative that we have the church in today's society? Because could you think where we would be at if there was no church? Huh? Listen, you're welcome to shout back if you're feeling something that we're saying. It helps me gauge what's landing. But could you imagine where this world will be at? The church is the moral soul of this nation. I don't care if it's a church you like or not. As long as they're preaching Jesus. Could you imagine where you would be at if it wasn't for the church? Now, we got all the publicity we need at what the church is doing wrong. Tonight, I'm talking about what we're doing right. So, where would we be? Where would your marriage be if you didn't get counseling from godly pastors? Where would your business be if you didn't get direction from people that were spiritual? Where would your life be if you didn't have relationships that reached out to you when everybody else abandoned you? Why do you think they're doing that? Because they've been taught that God never leaves and we should never leave as well. There is a morality in the church that exists inside of people because of the teachings of the gospel. Amen, somebody. Every time somebody did something nice for you or loaned you something or was a blessing to you or helped you pay something in a tight spot, where do you think that soul, that morality comes from? Come on, it's not just because they're good people. They learn to be good people because they have a good God. The church is directly responsible for bringing us out of the dark ages. The church has done so good. I was talking today with a pastor out in Vegas, and he was talking about the criticism Joel Osteen's getting. You guys, I've seen it all. There's a kid on TikTok he walks up to Joel Osteen, and he said, hey, I just acts like he wants to take a picture. So Joel grabs him, and he's smiling at that, and then the guy said, hey, this is Joel Osteen. And then he says, don't you know you're a piece of blah, 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 blah. And Joel just smiles and walks away. If you think that's cute or entertaining, something's wrong with you. That you're dishonoring somebody, even if you don't feel he's a man of God, which obviously the kid don't know him. But even if you don't feel he's a man of God, are you giving millions away to help people? How many millions are you giving? I can speak for VEC alone. Before you start criticizing anything we do, you need to realize how much we do to help people. How many, we just did a thing this summer. We fed and clothed and we did a whole bunch of free haircuts and all kinds of stuff for the community. Free. Constantly counseling and do all this stuff. The church is valuable, is my point. Joel, so I talked with this guy. I said, Joel, do you know Joel gives over $25 million a month? A month to help people. The church does. And for those that say, well, he's a millionaire, he's got, no, he don't even get paid from the church, y'all. The man makes his money because he's got 10 best-selling books. Plus, he's in all kinds of different businesses. So it's just funny that before we judge something, man, do your research. Do your research. Because, man, where would we be without the church? So it's so important. Here's some things that makes church valuable. I'm going to try to get through all this because we got a lot. Number one, community. It's imperative. Thank God for somebody that's sitting right next to you. Thank God for them being in your life. Number one, community. Number two, hope. There's been times when we didn't have any hope in our life. You came to church feeling a whole lot different when you left. Amen, somebody. Fellowship. One of the biggest issues right now, suicide is running rampant in this nation right now. Why? Several different reasons, but I promise you fellowship is something that will help stop that. People don't feel like they have anybody. Fellowship, church provides direction. Where's the church value? I'm not even talking about just VZ. The church provides direction. Pastor, I don't know what to do. I don't know how many times I heard this. I don't know what to do in my life. This, that, and messed this up, made this decision, blah, blah, blah. It, you know, the devil gets a lot of credit for our decisions. You know, and as pastors and leaders and teachers, we are always trying to alleviate pain by creating clarity in your life. The church is valuable for that. No church, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be at the mercy of your auntie. Not saying she ain't a godly woman, but not everybody got family members that's going to lead you the right way. Amen, somebody. Number five, family. I don't know if you know this, but Pastor Shawnee and I look at you guys as family. You're not just a church member to me. I consider you family. What else is the church valuable for? Faith. A community of faith. Paul said to surround yourself with people of like faith. Like faith. What else? Equipping. My job isn't just to preach you happy. My job is to preach you whole. It's equipping you to become better than you are. To fulfill potential you may not even see you have. Another one, it's a place of affirmation or affirming. And also, this is the good one here, it's a place of correction. It's a place of correction, y'all. You come here and there's a place to where we get realigned. The gospel, if it doesn't cut us, it's not the gospel. Amen. Thank you for that, amen. Let's go to the next page. What makes us different, though? What makes VEC different than just any random church? Now, I asked Pastor Shawnee this earlier. I said, I should probably just have people raise their hand, but I don't have time for all the time to do the things I want to do tonight. But what makes us different as a church? Why is VEC so important? We've been in this thing, what? When did we start? Huh? I can't hear you. About 11, 12 years now, something like that. A little over a decade. What makes us different? We put down here, it embodies the balance of freedom and spirituality. In other words, it's not just about the spiritual side that it's all do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, or the devil's going to get you. It also serves as a purpose. This ministry has freed. I can see in the way some of y'all just, you look different. When you came in, you were shopping at Pharisee.com. Listen, ephods, y'all, listen. I mean, some of y'all. In Sadducees.org. Listen, I'm telling you, praise the Lord for some freedom. Praise the Lord for some freedom. Listen, but it's a balance of freedom and spirituality, because you can go to a grace church and all they're doing is giving you everything you want to do for your flesh to go crazy and not checking any of it. So we're not doing that here. There's times where we have to come to you and say, hey, chill with that. You're going too far there, or this, blah, 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 blah. It's a balance to where you get freedom, but you're growing in the freedom with your spirituality. Freedom actually is spiritual, but just for lack of better terms, I'm not trying to get too deep. But it's the beauty of the balance that this house represents. You're not going to come here and just, you know, feel comfortable living any type of way. As a matter of fact, some people don't like coming to church at VC. Why? Because the atmosphere will check you. My God, if you see Pastor Gail up there crying, you better believe he's coming for you too. So sometimes it's so thick in here, it's mind-blowing, the presence of the Lord here. And so we embody both freedom and spirituality. I'm not saying that there's not another church out there that may not have the balance. But one thing I know, and I've been at a lot of churches, I'm not just saying this because I pastored this, y'all. I'm telling you, VEC is different. We are different. Think about the church you may have came from. Not beating nobody up, but just think about the difference. Think about the difference. They may have strengths we don't have yet. But one thing we do embody is the balance of both spirituality and freedom. And here's the other thing we embody. We are real and authentic. We're real and authentic. I've had so many people, when I stood before you guys in a while back and I talked about what was going on in my life and you guys came up, that was one of the best times of my life. I've had so many people come up to me and say, man, Pat, I have never seen a pastor do that. Never seen a pastor just get up and repent or say that. And that's a tragedy in itself, that's something that is not common. Because pastors, we're people too, man. You know, I have to get up every Monday just like you. And I love the fact that this is a real and authentic church. If y'all are going to run, it's because you really feel like running. It's not because the organ player hit E-flat or A-flat. There's no cues to our response other than the fact that it's authentic and real in whatever we do. And that's a beautiful thing, and I'm really appreciative of that. Number three, it's grace-driven. We're a new covenant-based house, which is a beautiful thing. So let's move to the next one. How do we change and grow? Because where we are at, I believe that VC, with them, first of all, those three things, spiritual freedom, spirituality and freedom, the balance of it, staying real, authentic, and grace-driven. I don't know about you, but I believe that the city of Detroit, this is our region, I believe they need to experience what we experience on a weekly basis. I believe that. I was sitting last night at a table with somebody that I was talking to last night, and they hadn't had a chance to come too much to our service, but they tune in all the time. And this individual was telling me just how much this ministry has blessed them and transitioning and things. And I was blown away, because every so often I'll run into somebody that is being fed by our ministries. Some of our people that move away, they're tuned in. They're probably watching us right now. Other states, whatever, VC is still home to them. They're still giving, or whatever their commitments are, they're still with us. Because it's hard to find a church like this. It's not easy to find a church like this. And so how do we take this and take this to the next level? Because I'm going to be honest with you. We are not going to be able to change the city of Detroit without some changes in the church. We can't. We have to make some changes here. This is why Scripture always says judgment starts with the house of the Lord first. Every correction will start here first, and then it will And then we'll see the influence take place. So how do we grow and how do we change? So I want to move here to the next part. So here's what we're going to get into some deeper stuff here. I'm going to talk about different ministry needs that we need here in the house. And just by show of hands, how many are members here right now that are with us? I know we got a lot of people out tonight. I hope they're online. Okay. If you're planning on joining, you know, we definitely are, what they say in the old church doors are open. We definitely want to see you get plugged in here. So here's some things that we need. Number one, our media team. Because what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to talk about these individual ministry needs that we need. That if we get these positions and these slots filled with people with the right heart and the right education, then this is going to position us to take things to the next level. All right. So before we get to this, let me say this. So I talked with Dorian and Chantel and my wife a couple of days ago. We just had I was getting ready to come up here and tell you all we're getting ready to move. We got an opportunity to get into a really nice space that we was going to do a lease on. And after talking with them and pros and cons and all the things that we went through, I didn't feel that was something that we needed to do at the time. Because there's some things before we get to the next level. You know, when the enemy wants to get you off course, he'll put something in your way that looks like a blessing that's really not even close to the blessing that he's going to give you if you just follow the path. Come on, somebody. Listen, I'm trying to tell you. And so I feel like the Holy Spirit said, no, remain. Tighten this up. Get the foundations tight. The people are with you. Tighten it up and watch what I do. Say amen to that? So here's some things. Media team. What Dorian's doing right now, what Pastor Oz is doing in the back, that is considered media. If you don't know, now you know. So, number one, volunteers to help expand the immediate needs, the long-term goal of the media team. Number one, we need equipment. Currently, a budget list of $15,000 for the needs to expand the media team. 15 grand. Now, that may seem like a lot. That is for one person. That's not for a church. It really isn't. Not if we come together and we budget correctly. So we have to see things from a corporate perspective. This is not something we're asking one person to do that, unless the one person can do it. That's not what we're asking. We're trying to get people to understand the needs. Why is it 15,000? Someone say that might be enough. Listen, guys, when I tell you, we just bought a new drum set. I don't know how much that thing cost. Keyboards, bass amps, microphones. This stuff is not cheap. And right now, in the place that we are right now, everybody knows who's been shopping or buying food. Inflation is a real thing right now. Gas, everything is expensive right now. Why do we need it, though? Because in order for us to grow beyond where we are right now, I did a Facebook reel, a Instagram reel thing two days ago. And Shawnee has been telling me, she said, do a reel when you post stuff. So I said, well, I'll just sit down on the piano and I'll just sing, I will be content in every circumstance. Just playing, right? I got like 70 new followers in 25 minutes doing it. I've never done nothing like that. I've never, as a pastor, marketed me. And the thing about it is we go as high as I go. Because whatever God does here, he does here. Trust me. I promise you. People are going to Perfecting Church because of Marvin Winans. I promise you, they're going to churches. We don't like to say it, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And you can leverage that influence. Make sure it's a humble leader you're under, because no matter the notoriety they're getting, they need to be able to leverage that through humility to affect more people, to help more people for the kingdom. Amen, somebody. Ain't nothing wrong with being famous or having followers and like that as long as you leverage it for the kingdom. Because it's not about us. I would love to stand in front of the world and say, this means nothing. He means everything. So here's the thing. The media has to go to another level. Here's some reasons why. Our social media presence is nowhere near where it needs to be. I need multiple cameras that are working simultaneously, that are getting clips. There's things that, how many have ever heard Pastor Gail preach, there's something I said that just hit you like, geez, man, that's perfect to put on social media, because if it hits you that way, it's going to hit thousands of others that way. It's only going to surprise them because they wasn't ready for it, right? And then they're going to say, what is Vertical Encounter? They're in Detroit? Are you kidding me? They're on Saturday night too. I get to sleep in and still go to church. Come on, somebody. I'm being real. It's how you market it. Look around you right now. How many open seats are open? It's not because of our lack of depth here. It's not because of the lack of presence here. It's because we've done no real marketing. Every major church in the city is marketing like crazy. We have to step our game up. Is this okay tonight? Okay, I'm just checking out. Social media presence. Graphic, art, and flyers, advertising, presentation. I need people that, and I thank God for Dorian. I really do. Dorian is, listen. This brother just come over and brought me water and all. I mean, he's just on it, man. I mean, this is my guy. You know, Dorian really does a good job, and he steps up where he's supposed to step up. I thank God for all the leaders here, but I just want to focus on you for a second. But he needs help, y'all. One man shouldn't be doing as much as he does. And he really needs help, and we got to build this. So there's people that have this expertise, and so we need you to step up if you can on this, okay? Part of the volunteers for this department, we need camera technicians, sound technicians. If you don't know how to run sound, you know, and here's the thing about volunteering. Let me just throw this out here right quick. Volunteer with the right heart but a humble spirit, because you may not know or be as good as you think you are. And when you start stepping into these type of roles, I got to make sure that I don't have a willing heart and a terrible sound, because it defeats the purpose. So, you know, a lot of people get offended about that, but you get be coachable in any area that you volunteer. Don't come in as a chief. Come in as an Indian. Amen, somebody. And then we'll create some things, and then you'll learn some stuff. And if you know more than the person that's teaching you, let humility prepare the way for them to see that. And then from there, we'll make some moves. And because the goal isn't to promote you, the goal is to promote what God's doing here. Amen? Because I believe there's a lot, I believe there's thousands of people in the city of Detroit that if they knew we was here, they would be here, but they don't know we're here. Amen. So social media maintenance, we're going to need that. Pastor Gail, one thing I'm terrible at is social media. Like, I post stuff, but sometimes it's wrong, or I'll leave it. I make all kinds of mistakes. We need somebody who's literally running our social media account. So that's you. If you're online, whoever it is, listen, reach out to us. Let us know if you can help. Set up and tear down. Fellas, I'm just going to be pastor and be real. Listen, I'm kind of old school in this. I don't understand how men can sit there and watch one dude work and tear down everything, or sit there and talk to 15 people and watch women complete, like, I'm thankful for your hearts, those who are serving. But fellas, we got to step it up here. When we dismiss, we have monitors, we have mics. There's things that we have to do here. We like to vacuum. The church comes in the morning. We want to be excellent. We want them to know that we've made an effort to clean up, not leaving stuff in the, like, it's important, man. Like, help us out here. We need people to step up and help out. You may not be able to do sound, but I'm sure you can pick up a napkin. So, you know, something is that. So, you know, I love y'all, but I'm just keeping it real. Was that blunt enough, Pastor Tim? You tell me to be straight. Okay, I got you. All right, so children's ministry. Biggie right here. Y'all ready for this? Now, this may look like, this is children's ministry. No, no, no. Quit thinking of children's ministry like children's ministry. Start thinking of this is the next generation. Yeah. How did the world get worse? Because we did not pay attention to our kids. And now, raised by social media, you can't even get on TikTok without being your mind just being infiltrated with all kinds of crazy nonsense. And you can't even filter it. You can't get on any social media. They're literally running the world. And they're raising our kids. And we have to be very careful. Our due diligence here in children's ministry, y'all, is the most important thing that we're doing. Really is. So, here. Number one, we need staffing and volunteers for multiple age groups. I need people that really have a heart for God. Now, some of you say, I don't have patience for kids, and blah, blah, blah. Listen. Yeah, I'll leave that alone. We need people with the right heart that's willing to serve. Now, Sherlita and Portia have stepped up. They're working together to provide a source of it. Because right now, where we're currently at downstairs is not set up for kids the right way. So we have to somehow remedy this situation so that we can have kids. So, you know, when Pastor Gail's preaching and you hear a kid crying in the back, you're like, man, that kid just crying. What do you expect them to do? We don't have nothing for them. I can't get nobody to step up to help. I don't think we have a right to be irritated if we don't have a heart to serve. Unless you would rather me put the mic down and I go down there and do it and you preach. Somebody may not like that. I'm sure the service will be quick, though, so it'll be work out for me. See, what happens is, this is what has to happen. If the body don't step up, then the leaders have to get out of position to make it work. That's not my grace. Where I'm most effective to you is right here. This is the grace God has given me to teach the Word of God. But to do that, you know, I can't beat up the parents when their kids are going crazy. Kids are kids. It's not a demon in them making them, well, that's just the devil trying to distract. No, it ain't. That's a kid that does not have a place to go because there's no adults that will serve. That's what it is. It's that simple. Kids cry. So, and I'll do my best to preach. You know, I'll get louder when they start crying. I'll be like, Second Samuel. I'll try, but then they get louder, and then we just have a war. So we need to alleviate this issue, y'all. Right? So, because it's not the parents' fault, and what I don't want is for somebody who's new, who has a kid that's crying, to feel like I can't come to church because my kid is a distraction. I do not want that. Then we've lost double at that point. So, amen. So I need you guys to step it up. Portia and Sherlita are heading that right now. And so we want to do this. Now, here's some things that I put down. We need teachers. We have right now, we have a current budget right now that's about $1,500. That's curriculum and all the things that we need to do to get that ready. We got to buy mats down there, all this stuff. I don't plan on being here long. I feel like if this goes well tonight and this resonates with people, I feel like us coming together, we could be out of here real soon. Because as we grow, everything grows. And as when that happens, the sky's the limit. Then this thing will look different. But as we are here, we need to figure out how to remedy this with what we got, where we're at. And so right now, currently, it's a $1,500 budget. We need teacher assistants. Again, we need people who are assisting them. And they'll let you know what the details are on that. We need a sanitizing team down there. It's very imperative that we have somebody down there that's also helping with the sanitizer, make sure things are clean. And then creative creators, really, really important. It's not on here, but I wanted to add one of the things that I see as children's ministry, and this isn't my grace, but as a visionary, I believe that God would definitely show me. But I see a children's ministry that's so effective that we are literally, that we have media and arts training, that we have musical training, that these kids, that we're not just informing their minds about the book of Genesis or explaining Noah to them, but when they leave, they also learn how to maybe harmonize, how to draw a little bit better. We're preparing them for the world. So when they come out of there, not only is their mind and heart equipped, but their talent is also stretched. Yeah. How many singers do you love? Whitney Houston, Anita Baker, all these different people. They all started in the church, y'all. All these people started in the church. We need to make sure that we're doing that. Schools now are starting to cut these programs. They're starting to cut the arts program, and that is a big no-no. Big no-no. You know, these kids, we need this stuff. And so that's really, really important there with the children's ministry. So the hospitality, let's swing over here just real quick. Volunteers to support the hospitality, the needs of ministries right now. So when you walk in tonight, we had Pastor Candace in the back, and we had Jovita in the back. Thank you guys for serving and doing what you do on a weekly basis. But we've struggled in this area as well. So when Pastor, everybody's a pastor now. When Sister Candaris died, Mother Rushton died, we called her here. It left a big gap here. I remember coming in on Joy Road. Every time I'd get a call, every single Saturday, Pastor, what you want to drink? I'd say, grape juice. But she wouldn't just bring grape juice every week. Every week she would ask me what I want to drink. Because maybe that particular week, I wanted something different. She, every single day, I'd get there, there would be a napkin by my seat with grape juice. And every single week, it never failed. She would do that. If I needed water or anything, she would make that happen. Not only that, if we was praying and people falling out, she was the one that had cloths so we couldn't see all people's business. And she'd go right up there just like she was a true church mother. And she would put the cloths on there, and she would do that. And here's the thing I love about her. She very rarely complained. And if it was a complaint, it's usually something to do with me. And I love her directness. She'd check me and then love me all together. And I said, well, that's a church mama. So, you know, but she was always there. And she was always responsible. And she was always doing that. I never had to worry about nothing when Mother Rushton was here. Volunteers is critical because you're not just opening doors. You're not just serving pastors. You're not just sitting people. You are the first encounter. You're the first representation they get to see coming in that door. You are an atmosphere changer. I've been to churches where people are serving, but they mean as billy goats. They mean as billy goats. You don't need to be serving until you get that nature thing down. Right? It's imperative that you understand that serving, wherever you're serving at, in any of this that we're talking about, that you're a representation of the culture of this house. If Pastor Gail and Pastor Shawnee ain't mean, why are you mean? Because you're representing the leadership of this house. And we're not like that. And so your job is to learn to set order in the spirit of grace and humility and make them feel welcome. And wherever that is. So hospitality is made. It's been a thing we've struggled with here. Getting people to serve. And you know, I know that Pastor Candace, Pastor Oz has been over that department trying to help that out, but I know also in talking with them that it's been kind of a difficulty to get people to really step up and serve. I think that sometimes what happens in a new covenant-based church is once people come into freedom, the first thing that happens is they get lazy. You know, it's amazing. You're always giving your all in legalism. I mean, wouldn't miss a doggone service. Now it's lucky if some of y'all come once every 2 months. Wouldn't miss a service when it was religious. But now that it's under grace and truth, everything else, you know, church takes secondary role. Our allegiance should be even firmer now in this. This isn't to beat you up. I'm trying to grow us up here. Because we got to get to the next level. I can't do it at this level no more. I love y'all, but it's time to emerge. It's time to emerge. I feel like I'm a butterfly just getting ready to go. And I want you all to come with us. So here's the next thing. So watch this. Also, we need supplies. You guys know, there's certain things with supplies that we're going to need. Tissues, things like that. People come in. The tissues. There's a lot of stuff that's happening. We're creating infrastructure right now to where you will know where each leader is. And once you connect to that department, we'll have an infrastructure that you can connect to, that you'll be able to say, okay, here's where I fit in. Here's my job. Here's my function here. So, you know, just be mindful of that. Volunteers, we need pastoral service. That's important to me. Sometimes when I come in, very rarely do I like to come in before service early enough to chat with people, because some people talk about stuff that have nothing to do with what God's getting ready to say, and I don't like to be distracted by stuff like that, and I want to talk about the Super Bowl right before I preach. You know, it's nothing. It's just the way I am. I like to be focused on God, so I'll go in the office, but sometimes I need to get a message to the media team or Pastor Tim or somebody like that, and it's good to have somebody there that I can say, can you go tell so-and-so, so I don't have to walk out of the office, come all the way around, because when Pastor comes out here, people are going to want to talk to me, so I can't get back into my moment of meditation. Then when I come in, I'm distracted. I take the Word of God very serious, and so it's something that, you know, we need people serving, you know, whoever, and it's whoever's preaching. If I have a guest preacher, I want them to come in and feel that. When I go preach somewhere, y'all, when I go teach somewhere, they treat us like royalty. We walk in, I've got an armor bearer assigned to me. I hate the term armor bearer because it's Old Testament, but I get what they're doing. They're just serving. We wear our own armor in the New Testament. But here's the concept, is that they treat us like royalty. They're serving all this. Back to children's ministry. You see what I'm talking about? This is why, DeMarcus, do you catch me? I said, back to children's ministry. Is that why you was pointing at him? I got you. But we need somebody serving. We need somebody that is doing the job of you know, serving our guests, our pastors. We need ministry guest service. That's on here. Kitchen committee. That's for a later time. Greeters and ushers. And then also sanitation department. Let's go to the next one here. Actually, we got some more on the volunteers. Yeah, this is a good point here. Are you all following me tonight? Okay, good. I'm trying to stay order here. Here's another one. One of the things that's been missing, I've been talking with a deacon about this, Chris, too, security detail. Now, we got some people in here that are gun holders, you know, and I'm thankful for that. If somebody got out of line, you know, we could probably handle that. But we do need security detail. If you wasn't with us on 7 Mile, trust me, we had jokers walking in off the street, y'all, that would start a Royal Rumble. And without security detail, I'm telling you, man, you think, how many was with us on 7 Mile? It was a different world over there, y'all. I'd be in the middle of preaching, I had a guy come down, trust me, you need security, so if something gets out of line, or if there's somebody that just decides to come, we live in a weird world today. And people will come into a church and just think it's funny to put on their social medias just to distract the church and get millions of views. And then you know what's crazy about it? YouTube pays them. They'll come in and do that. So I need security. If I look at you and I say, get them out, they're out. No, I'm not going to sit there and argue with somebody over the pulpit. They're out. We need security details. So, fellas, we need some step up, especially, you know, at night. It's a nice church, but it's not in the best neighborhood. I'm not comfortable with women, single women, walking out in the parking lot to their cars by themselves. Not real comfortable with that. Amen, fellas. So, you know, this is where we can step up. So we need some, like if you say, Pastor, I want to serve on security detail. We're going to put that together. How to make sure that we have that in place. Internal and external security. So let's go to the worship department just real quick. We're almost done. So, worship, let's swing over there real quick. Here's part of our worship. If we've got a strength at Vertical Encounter, it's our worship. People always ask me, Pastor, how you get all them singers, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. They just come. And it's just beautiful. We are very gifted here. We have how many know we got a great worship team? Amen. Listen, Chantel, you do a great job. Here's one of the things I would like to do with our worship team. Why? Because this is all taking us to the next level. Expansion of our social platform. Again, getting what we do. Maverick City is huge, right? They're not doing nothing we can't do here. Do you know what the thing is? They created a YouTube channel that blew up because people love their worship. We don't do nothing like that. I'm telling you right now, we have enough talent, enough anointed worshipers that are here that could do the same thing. I want to create a YouTube. I want to create have creative writing camps where our worshipers come together and they're writing based off of the atmosphere, the teaching, the understanding, the revelation of this house. And we write from that paradigm, from that model, and then watch what God does in the writing. One of the reasons why Maverick City blew up is because they started singing about a God that was good. That simple, and it clicked with people. Why did it click with people, though? Because every time someone experiences God, they experience his goodness. And most churches is only preaching about God from fear. It resonated with the body of Christ because it was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's how I felt when I met him. He's good, you know? And so we want to do creative writing classes. And I would love to have a worship project, a VC worship project. We have that type of level of worship here. Worship events, all these type of things, you know. Everybody seems to want to sign up in our worship stuff. But we want to take that to the next level. So let's get to the next part here. Go to our where it says 1 year, just here real quick. Here's where we're going to need to be in year. So I need you guys to really tap in here. All right? We are focused. I want to make sure we got this. Here's our goals. Within a year's time, next February, the goal is to buy or lease space that is solely our home, that we can make our own. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not really wanting to buy something. We did initially, but it's a pain to have to own a building because you have to take, roofs go bad, boilers go bad. Listen, when a roof go bad on a building this size, you're looking at $30,000 right off the rip. Your insurance goes up. There's all kinds of stuff that happens once you buy a building. I don't want that headache if I don't want to. I used to think I was crazy until I realized Joe Osteen does not own Lakewood. They're renting that space. Here's the biggest church in America, and he's in a lease because he's smart. He's smart. That's why. And I'm going to follow in his footsteps. He's smart. I'm going to be smart. This is where that's at, okay? So Joe Osteen is doing that for smart reasons. I think a lease is the best option for us. So we can find a lease that we're not sharing with nobody. It's ours in the sense of it's a lease. We can make it how we want, that type of thing. And we want to make sure that it actually accommodates all the needs that we have, children's ministry, youth ministry, music ministry, all the things that we need. So, and we can find that. The reason, well, what's taking so long, Pastor Gail? I'm glad you asked. What's taking so long is the giving is not even close to where we need to be to even try to look at something. Now, Tiffany and Lakina are here. They're both real estate agents. They will tell you right now that for $2,000 a month, you're not going to find what we're trying to, what we need. Especially now, everything has went way up right now. So it is definitely a seller's market. And we are in a position right now to where we're not in position right now, excuse me, to be able to get what we need. If we did move, it would be another problem, another situation that we'd be in the same situation that we're in now, just in a different location. So we've decided not to do that. So our goals for this in 1 year, and here's the other thing. It's always been my heart to move to Sunday. We've done Saturdays for 7 years, and I know you love it. People do. But take a look around again. I've got 40 to 50 people that are not here. Why? Because it's Saturday, and there's other things going on that they felt they needed to be at. And this happens all the time. Now, I know that we love Saturdays when you're here, but what happens when 3 weeks out of the month you're not here? Because Saturdays are weddings, funerals, events, dinners, kids' stuff, football, whatever. You pick and choose. As a pastor, people are programmed to go to church on Sunday. I started Saturdays not because the Spirit said, not because God said Saturday's the Sabbath, because at this time it's not the Sabbath anyway. The reason we did Saturdays is because it created an opportunity just for new church and people to come visit initially. And then it just stuck and people loved it. And I still love Saturdays. And maybe once we get to the next place in our evolution, maybe we'll continue in a Saturday night service and make it a weekend thing, depending on how we grow. That's all determined by growth and staff and what's available to us. But the goal is to move to Sunday. And the reason why Sunday is important is because people are typically programmed to go to church on Sunday. If I could get us to move to Sunday and I could have our musicians, if we was in a financial situation to be able to pay our musicians what they're getting paid on Sundays. Now, someone said, well, why are you paying musicians? Well, everybody pays musicians. Trust me. If go to a church where they're not. Tell me how the worship sounds. Let's try that. When you're singing Kumbaya in the key of Z, then roll with that. So you definitely want to take care of your musicians, right? And they work hard, you know. Well, there, I heard one guy argue one time and say, how are you paying them that much for an hour? You're not paying them for an hour. You're paying them for the 30 years they've been practicing. You're paying them for their experience. That's what you're paying them for. Because they can do in an hour what somebody couldn't do. If I needed one of you to play, you can't play. You didn't put the time in. They put the time in. So we need that. So Sunday's important. Our church, I really feel like, and some of you may not know this, on paper, we got about 150 members. You just don't ever see them because they all come at different times. That's why. And then some of them are members and they, you know, they're just a Easter Sunday member. They come on Sunday or Easter or whatever it is, Christmas or something. It's just the way some people are. Church will always have those people, and it's fine. But for our committed members, we have a lot more than what you think we have. But Saturdays is just what Saturdays do, especially in the summer. It really windows down because now the weather's nice. Everybody wants to cook out on Saturday nights, you know. So it's those type of things. So we want to make sure that we are able to move to Sundays eventually. That's always been my goal, to move there and do an 11 o'clock service. I really believe that we'll grow doing that. Here's the other thing here. I can skip a couple of these. Hang on one sec. Hang on one sec, guys. I'm just reading. My wife put this down here, making sure I got the verbiage right. So that's pretty much, in 1 year, that's where I want to see us go. The infrastructure to get us there is everything I dealt with prior. So, you know, hospitality, music, media, all of those type of things, getting us there. Once we get our infrastructure together, what's going to happen? How many members of the state make Field of Dreams? If you build it, they come. So once we get that together, that structure will attract those people that we're looking to do, because I'm trying to get us to the next place. Here's the last thing, and I just want to get this to you here. Things that we need. Here's what's going to get us to the next level besides just the volunteer stuff. Number one, getting people. If you call this your house, and I know tonight's different. You know, usually we preaching and teaching and doing all that. We'll be back to that next week. But if you call this your house, I want you to really evaluate your commitment to this house on several different levels. Because if we believe, as we already talked about, what makes VC important, what makes it valuable, what makes it these type of things. If you believe that the city, that people need what happens here in this church, these are three things that are going to help us get all of these things where they need to be. Number one, attendance. Why is that important? It's really important because there's a ministry of presence. Nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. Nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. People attract people. If you're walking down the beach and you see 50 people standing in a circle, you know what you do? You walk up to that circle to see what's going on. That's how it works. Nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. Number one, it creates momentum. Your attendance is important. Number two, we need to really step up in our serving. Now, I'm not foolish enough to think that everybody that goes to church wants to serve. Matter of fact, I think Pastor Ken told me one time that, what was it, 10% of people, 20% of people or something like that? I can't remember. What was it? 25% of people in a church of 100 will serve. Usually that's the statistics. So I'm not foolish enough to think that everybody's going to be like, I want to serve. Some people just want to come to church, hear the word, you know, give their offering and go home. I get that. But right now we are in a building state, y'all, to get this thing to the next level. And so to do that, attendance, serving, and then number three, giving. Really, really important. I have a hard time with this, Pastor Tim Dorian. We have meetings and they tell me, man, you need to teach on giving more, Pastor. And I've always been the person that don't want to do that because I don't want to scare you off, because there's been such an abuse in this area as it relates to church. But you know what? I got to quit thinking like that for several reasons, because giving positions you to be blessed. It really does. And usually the people that get irritated with that statement are the ones that are not giving. So they've not seen the blessings. You know, and I'm telling you, we're not giving to be blessed. We're giving because we're blessed. But it's a constant, like, recycle of favor that happens over and over. If you're faithful over the little, makes you ruler over much. And so right now we are functioning off of a very small select of people that are consistent givers here. A very small select of people that are consistent givers. And, you know, it's probably because I have not taught on giving, but to get to the next level, y'all, we need resources. We need resources. I've got to be in a position to where if I see the building, we can get it. You know, well, Pastor, we've done a building fund. Yeah, and we've got all that money. It's still sitting there, but it ain't even close to even scratching the surface to what we need. That's why it's sitting there. I mean, the size of church that we have should be a lot more than what's coming in. And so I want to encourage you, you know, don't think that your giving alone is going to change this, but us corporately giving together can. We can. My tithe, your tithe, her tithe, his tithe coming together, it changes the whole game. It changes the whole game. And so we want to make sure that we are giving, y'all. And I can't tell you more. If you want VEC to go to the next level and you have a heart for this church and for this ministry, please don't get uncomfortable with this stuff. Step it up. Let's grow up together and let's do it. Why? Because this is not just about us. This is about positioning us to be a better and bigger blessing to the city that we're called to. And I cannot do that without resources. We can infrastructure all day long, but if there is no resources, we can't do it. We cannot do it. And so I'm willing to sacrifice at whatever level I have to sacrifice to make this work. My question is, are you? That's my question tonight. So I believe that's it, but that's a big thing. Three things that can help us get to where we just talked about is, number one, what? Attendance. Come on, shout attendance. Number two, serving. And number three, giving. Attendance, serving, and giving. Matter of fact, it's a good thing to write down in your phone or your notes or something to put that in there. Attendance, serving, and giving. Those three things change, and just recommit. You're not committing to me, you're committing to God. This is important. He's trying to do something significant with this ministry. You know, we all have a personal ministry and we all have a corporate ministry. And right now, this world needs places like VEC to emerge. This city needs it desperately. It's so important that we're faithful in our attendance, we're faithful in our serving, and we're faithful in our giving. I'm not saying you can't miss a service area, but make it a point. Like, nobody, I'm probably more busy than most people. But nobody calls me on Saturdays to do stuff because they know what the answer is. Because I'm here. I'm in the house. Now, very rarely will I miss, but we don't do that. They know where my commitments are because I make that known. And so I'm asking you to do the same. Attendance, serving, and giving. And I believe if we step these things up, y'all, we can do it. So we're going to put together some financial stuff. We're going to put together some serving things, different leadership within each thing that we dealt with as it relates to the ministry needs so that you know where you can serve and where you can just get involved at different levels. And I believe that we could take this to the next level. And I promise you, when you take care of God's business, He takes care of yours. Amen. Well, any other words, Shawnee, you want to say anything? Or Pastor Tim, Dorian, anything that I missed? Did I miss anything? How'd I do? All right? Okay. So I appreciate you guys. And Shawnee and I love you. We really do love you, man. But I'm at a point to where it's time to take it to the next level. And I feel like we can do this. You'll look up and be like, look at this in a one-year thing. You'll look up and be like, whoa, look at what God did, right? And God always will increase. Whatever we give in sacrifice, He'll take it and increase it 100-fold. So, you know, let's step this up together and think about the words that I said tonight. And please don't feel like I was trying to beat anybody up because that wasn't what I'm trying to do tonight. I'm ready to go to the next level. And to do that, I need you guys. Listen, I need you. I need you. God didn't send you here so you could sit in the pew and smile. I need you. This is a equipping house, and I need you. We're going to go to the next level. We're going to dismantle religion and show the love of God all over the city. Amen, somebody? So let's just stand to our feet real quick.